All right, this is Talk is Cheap. I got a bunch of stuff from the Eugene anti-war in Ukraine protest, and over the next few weeks I'll be giving you some stuff on how globalization has caused the war in Ukraine. Thanks for listening. KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. Okay, so one of the ways to tell, or two ways to tell that something is not conspiracy theory is... follow the money, like Oliver Stone said. But also what you want to look at is what happened after the fact. And, for instance, they still don't know who burned down the German parliament building in World War II. And when the German parliament building was burned down, they blamed it on the communists, and then the Nazis came to power. And so I'm going to be reading from Michael Rupert from the Wilderness. And Michael Rupert is known for the peak oil stuff, but he's also known for saying that 9/11 was allowed to happen. So, and whether you think he's conspiracy theory or not, when you look at what happened after 9/11, we had a war, for a 20-year war with the wrong country, an unnecessary war with the wrong country, costing trillions of dollars, was the result, was how they justified that war, was with 9/11. So whether it was a conspiracy or not, similar to the Reichstag fire, it sure looked like a conspiracy to me. So Michael Rupert has quite a bit of integrity. So what this is about, it's about 2001, it's about 9/11, but it's Zbigniew Brzezinski and the Trilateralists. And these are a group of wealthy people that want to dominate the world. And so you're going to hear, and please research this stuff on your own. And when you do research it, you're going to find that trilateralism is also called neoliberalism. And you're going to find Alex Jones talks about a world conspiracy to dominate the world. However, his solution to that is Reaganomics, and that's what's different. Where I'm getting my information is, this goes all the way back to, I was at the Battle of Seattle, and the WTO, and the IMF, and the WTO demonstrations in Cancun, and before the battle in Seattle, they had the conference to end corporate dominance. So that's where I get my information. Please research this yourself, but ultimately, this is the symptom. This war is a symptom of globalization, in my opinion. Okay, so again, this is from an old 2001, from November 1st, 2001, article from The Wilderness, which is Michael Rupert's site. He's since passed away. And it excerpts the Grand Chessboard, which was written by Zbigniew Brzezinski. Okay, so it starts off, I'm skipping down, but it's this is his resume, Zbigniew Brzezinski's resume. According to his resume, Brzezinski, holding a 1953 PhD from Harvard, lists the following achievements. Counselor, Center for Strategic and International Studies, Professor of American Foreign Policy, Johns Hopkins University, National Security Advisor to President Jimmy Carter, 1977 to 81, Trustee and Founder of the Trilateral Commission, International Advisor of several major U.S. global corporations, Associate of Henry Kissinger under Ronald Reagan, Member of NSC Defense Department Commission on Integrated Long-Term Strategy under Ronald Reagan, Member of the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board, past Member Board of Directors, the Council on Foreign Relations, 1988, Co-Chairman of the Bush National Security Advisory Task Force. Brzezinski is also a past attendee and presenter at several conferences of the Bilderberg Group, a nonpartisan affiliation of the wealthiest and most powerful families and corporations on the planet. Okay, now I just want to point out the other book that you want to read, other than The Grand Chessboard, is Trilateralism by Holly Sklar, very famous book. When I went to read a review of her, it's, you know, they're saying, well, yeah, you know, the elite get together and we're just a bunch of party animals that just like to hang out together. You know, we're not discussing world domination at these meetings or anything like that. So, yeah, well, Yeah, they are, and they're discussing it with world leaders, and they're doing it out of the context of the electoral democratic process. And we've been discussing this since the battle in Seattle. And then all of a sudden, Alex Jones co-opted this world dominance thing and twisted it into something that sounds like conspiracy theory. But this is well documented that these guys meet, discuss world policy, and then that's what happens. And so you're gonna hear Brzezinski outlines almost exactly what's happening in Ukraine right now. Because this is what the point, this is very well said by Johannes Koppel, who is the German defense ministry to NATO in the 1970s. Johannes Koppel says this, reiterates what I'm saying about the IMF. Brzezinski's book, and there's many reviews about, many opinions about Brzezinski's book. So this is his opinion, and mine too, and I've observed over 20 years that this has come to pass. Brzezinski's book is subliminally arrogant. While singing the praises of the IMF and the World Bank, which have economically terrorized nations on every continent, and while totally ignoring the worldwide terrorist actions of the U.S. government that have led to genocide, cluster bombings of civilian populations from Kosovo to Laos to Iraq to Afghanistan, the development and battlefield use of both biological and chemical agents such as sarin gas, and the financial rape of entire cultures, it would leave the reader believing that such actions are for the good of mankind. Okay, and so I just want to point out that Ukraine is trading one totalitarian government for another totalitarian government, the U.S. and the West, while bordering the first totalitarian government. So war is not the solution. The solution is to end globalization and seize the assets of the Russian oligarchs. Not freeze the assets, but seize the assets of the Russian oligarchs, including Putin. And it's questionable. You got to ask, why is Putin's money in Western banks? The money that he stole from the Russian people when the Soviet Union collapsed and they privatized everything in Russia. Why is that money sitting in Western banks? Okay, so this is what Michael Rupert and from the Wilderness say about the Grand Chessboard. Brzezinski sets the tone for his strategy by describing Russia and China as the two most important countries, almost but not quite superpowers, whose interests that might threaten the U.S. in Central Asia. Of the two, Brzezinski considers Russia to be the more serious threat. Both nations border Central Asia. In a lesser context, he describes the Ukraine, Azerbaijan, Iran, and Kazakhstan as essential lesser nations that must be managed by the U.S. as buffers or counterweights to Russian and Chinese moves to control the oil, gas, and minerals of Central Asian republics, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and Kyrgyzstan. He also notes quite clearly, page 53, that any nation that might become predominant in Central Asia would directly threaten the current U.S. control of oil resources in the Persian Gulf. In reading the book, it becomes clear why the U.S. had a direct motive for looting of some $300 billion in Russian assets during the 1990s, destabilizing Russia's currency in 1998, and ensuring that a weakened Russia would have to look westward to Europe for economic and political survival, rather than southward to Central Asia. A dependent Russia would lack the military, economic, and political clout to exert influence in the region, and this weakening of Russia would explain why Russian President Vladimir Putin has been such a willing ally of U.S. efforts to date. All right, here's a bunch of stuff from the Eugene anti-war in Ukraine protest at the Federal Building.
Good morning. My name is Michael Kerrigan, a longtime peace activist in this community. And I'm standing with people all around the world today who are saying no to the war with Ukraine. Our message is simple. This conflict has no military solution. Instead, we need diplomacy and de-escalation. No to war. This is the Federal Building. Over the years, we've had many peace protests here, protesting usually U.S. war, but today we're protesting Russian war against the Ukrainian people. stand with over 8,000 Russians who've been arrested for protesting the war. It's not just the peaceniks here in Oregon who are saying no to war. It is Russians, Ukrainians, and people all over the planet. So, you know, it's we stand with them today.
All right, so I'm here at the Federal Building in Jean talking to Michael Kerrigan, who used to be the head of CALC and is a board member of PeaceWorks. And so why are you down here on the Federal Building?
I'm here today to send a strong message that we do not want war with Ukraine. So we're sending the message not only to President Putin, but to people all around the world. War is not the answer. This conflict in Ukraine has no military solution. We're saying diplomacy and de-escalation, not war. This federal building, we've stood for years for peace and against war. I'm so sorry we have to do it again. But we're sending that message, I think, that it's time to stop this war, but any war in the future. Bring those war dollars home. We've been funding war for hundreds of billions of dollars for years. We want to stop that. We want to fund the programs to help people at home and not fund the military's wars around the globe, whether they're ours or the Russians.
So KLCC is advertising this as a rally to support Ukraine. How should we be supporting Ukraine?
Well, I believe we support Ukraine by saying no to the war, by being out here in the streets, supporting peace in Ukraine. I think that's critically important that we do that. So we're supporting and also urging folks humanitarian aid to Ukraine as well. There are nonprofits that are doing that. There's a Springfield Church, the Springfield Nativity Ukrainian Church in Springfield is taking donations to support the people in Ukraine. It's supporting the people. We don't want it going to support war, of course, or weapons. You know, we are a peace movement, so we're saying, you know, no to war, no to any war, but yes to peace and yes to helping the people of Ukraine.
And why do you think Biden seems to go towards war with this? I mean, he wants to send them fighters from Poland now.
Well, you know, Biden is a traditional Democrat. He's not an anti-war person. That's traditional way the U.S. knows. They're our ally. We'll give them weapons to protect themselves. That's what the more mainstream Democrats do. So we're calling for a more specific: no war, stop it. We want peace.
And what about NATO? Isn't NATO a relic of the Cold War?
Oh, yeah. NATO is a relic of the Cold War. We oppose the expansion of NATO into the Eastern European countries that border Russia. We think that is a big mistake as well. So,
I just heard an interview with one of the parliamentarians of Ukraine, and she wants us to send them weapons. Is a proxy war going to solve anything?
In the long term, I don't think so. But I'm not going to criticize, any Ukrainians today. They are really, really fighting and working to save their country. I'm a peacenik. I want to, do peaceful, nonviolent direct action against the war. But I'm not going to take the Ukrainians to task for saying that they need, U.S. weapons to defend themselves.
All right. And what about the sanctions? Are sanctions the way to go?
I think sanctions against the oligarchs in Russia, against Putin, the rich people in Russia. But unfortunately, I think some of the sanctions could be hurting the Russian people, and we do not want that to happen. So we oppose those sanctions that are going to have a real negative impact on the people in Russia.
And so this is back to Occupy Wall Street. It's the Wall Street banks that need to be sanctioned. Is that right?
You got it. I was in the streets, doing the protests against those banks back then. You're right. It's time to do it again right now. I really appreciate you made that point and brought up that question.
All right, and do you think this is distracting from... I noticed they're reporting that Biden's poll numbers are up now. Is this a distraction from climate change, and is this to get Biden's poll numbers up?
I really don't think so. I don't agree with everything Joe Biden does, but I think in this case, I think he's, really wanting to oppose this war. I don't think he's doing to increase his poll numbers.
All right, and So what about the Poor People's Campaign advocated taking away money for war and giving it to the poor? Is that the solution?
Yeah, I say bring the war dollars home. We spend over $700 billion on the military in this country. Yeah, let's cut that in half. Let's stop funding war. Let's stop funding the military-industrial complex and bring that money home to help the people.
Right. What are we defending? So how would that look, though? What would humanitarian aid look like for these countries that are buffer states around Russia and Central Asia and other third-world countries? What would that look like, do you think?
Well, I think hopefully it would go to nonprofit groups have been doing this work for years in that region. I don't have the specific answer as to what the best groups would be. I think people could go on the Code Pink website, National Code Pink, and get more information about that. So that's what I would tell folks to do.
But I mean, health, welfare, education, and
the basics.
Social justice.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, funding programs that are helping the people in that region is the important thing to do. Fund the people, not war.
All right, Michael Kerrigan, anything else you want to say about the demonstration here at the Federal Building to support Ukraine and stop the war in Ukraine?
Well, I urge folks to take action. It might be a little late to join our vigil here today, but we'll have future vigils as well. But take action for peace, whether it be in your local area or writing the White House or Congress and say, stop funding war, cut the budget, bring the war dollars home. If we would all do that in great numbers, it would make a big, big difference here at home and in the world, I think.
And even conservatives, you're wasting conservatives' tax dollars too on war.
Yeah, I think that's an issue that could bring left and right together, wasting money on war. Who wants to do that?
So it's codepink.org is the website, right?
Yes, it is.
And there's a petition that you can send. They can help you send a letter to Congress.
Yes, that's true.
War.
So they're the lead national peace group on this issue. There's also National Peace Action. Folks can check out their website as well. And here locally, Planet versus Pentagon. We need more volunteers. Community Alliance in Lane County, or Cal. We'd like more folks involved in our peace program there. Folks can contact me. I'll get them involved.
All right, Michael Kerrigan, thanks for your time.
Thanks
for all the work you do.
Okay. I imagine most of you have been here before for these protests.
Yes, unfortunately.
And I think it is critically, critically important that we are here today. I think people think, the peace movement is not around anymore. People don't care anymore. Is that the truth?
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to do here, we're just going to be doing our vigil. We're not going to go marching. But if folks want to come up here and make a comment, a short comment. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't push hard enough. So I think what we can do, seeing all these wonderful people here, if you want to come up here and make a brief comment about why you're here today, please do that. And this is great. I haven't seen this many people at a peace protest in a while, so it'd be great to learn from each other, to support each other.
sending a message around the world today that we do not want war. So anyone wants to come up here and make a statement?
Come on up.
But I think that we are making a statement today. It's not just us. Code Pink is organizing these protests all around the country.
Yeah.
We are one of many people saying diplomacy, discussion, not war. So thank you all for coming out today.
And
who would like to come up here first and make a few comments?
Hi, my name is Justin Phillip. I'm with the Pacific Green Party. And we just wanted to show up and be represented, be visible with all of our allies, anti-war allies here.
Woo-hoo.
And we want to call for immediate de-escalation of all war.
Right on.
Yes.
Now don't be shy, everybody.
I got opinions. Anyway, this is a very sad episode, and it could be the beginning of a very long war. As you all remember, it's easy to start wars, and it's hard to stop them. This could be the beginning of their Iraq or something, which could go on to kill hundreds of thousands of people. The invasion was absolutely wrong, so count me down as anti-Russia on this one. And all these wars, of course, are organized by power hierarchies within the state,
money.
And this the same thing happens in the United States,
yeah.
For money and for power and so forth. So this is a very teachable moment, and if there's one thing that we can do is study this and understand it, read, and understand the parallel between what Russia is doing today and what has been done to us by our leaders, like Dick Cheney, these sorts of people. Is it about oil this time? What is it about?
My name's Mariah, and I'd like to speak to NATO. I think they've shown incredible restraint and understanding of what needs to happen here. Ukraine needs our support, not our guns. And we don't need Russia's oil and gas. Fossil fuels are killing our planet faster than war. And what we need to do to stop Russia is to lay off the oil and gas, shut them out of the market, and we'll improve the climate and peace.
Yes.
That's why the Raging Grannies are here today.
Yeah, we're the Raging Grannies. Any grannies who want to raise? Come on up. We want
Raging
Grannies.
Yay, Mariah!
The Grannies are a wonderful, wonderful group, and I think any fan, you get to check out and listen to the Grannies. Is time well spent. So, hey, Grannies! Bring the Grannies back, that's what I said. Love the Grannies.
I'm a Granny.
Okay. I'm a Granny, okay?
You are an evil monster and a murderer. Stop this nonsense and ride away on your horse to another planet or better yet to hell. Hitler and Charlie Manson.
Yeah.
All right. Jay Bruce and I am totally opposed to
that
war.
Going to like it in,
My name is Joyce. I'm a Raging Granny. I want you folks to understand that I'm a fan of the Parody Project, who does what the Grannies try to do, take old songs and make them political, but they do it so much better than we do. Do yourself a favor, if you don't know what the filibuster is, go and get online and find the song. You can put in Parody Project filibuster and it'll come up. And you won't be sorry. You won't be sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Granny.
Before the next speaker comes up, Planet versus Pentagon, I think, has an email list here today. Sue, do we have? We can have that. Sign up, get our emails. Also urge you to get on the Community Alliance of Lane County Council email list. It has that weekly calendar that comes out. That's just awesome. They do action alerts as well. So urge you to go online and check it out and sign up there as well. Because we gotta be networking. We have to be connected. As individuals, yes, it's great to protest. but a lot better in what?
Right.
What? 100 of your friends show up, or 500, or 1,000. That's how we make change. So, okay, who wants to?
Woohoo!
My name's Will Wingett, and I'm a minister here in this community. I have these three flags on my bike, and I'd like you to understand what they're there for. The red flag is my Marine Corps flag. I carry that because I am a peacekeeper. I am not a warrior for war. Okay? I really want people to understand that. When you go in the Marine Corps, you don't think that you're going in there to fight for bullshit battles. You think you're going in there to protect people in another country or protect their rights. The black flag is for all those brothers and sisters, including the ones in Ukraine right now, who are dying for their rights. And the middle one, of course, is for peace. But that's the whole thing. That's the whole ball of wax. I ride this bike all the time around town trying to get people to think. Because I've been called a baby killer. I've been called all kinds of things. I've never killed a baby. And believe me, I fight every day for the rights of every person on this planet. Not just the people of the United States. Not the rich, not the politicians. Thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you for the local church, for especially the Ukrainian Nativity Church, who's been raising donations to support Ukraine, to support Ukrainian humanitarian aid to Ukraine.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your help, and please support our Red Cross, support our humanitarian aid to Ukraine. Thank you very much.
Humanity has seen too much war throughout all of its history. At some point, there's no going back, so we gotta stop it before it's too late. There are other means in which we could stop this just tyranny, where people are sent to die by no choice of their own. Support humanitarian aid and more. You can encourage the governor to start accepting refugees, boycott gas, or encourage corporations to do the same, however much they may disagree, because they're tyrants in their own right.
Yes.
We need to end this madness, and we can't just do it by sitting around and hoping it'll end.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Right on.
Very good.
Anyone else? We are sending a message to the people driving by or walking by. It's great that we are here. So thank you all for coming. We'll still here, hold our signs. We'll talk. Connecting with your, all of us here is the most important thing we can do. I think sometimes we think we're alone. How can we stop war? How can we make change? We can make change by coming together, like doing today, and that's how it's going to happen. So thanks to all of you.
Right, so you're at the federal building here with a sign that says war is not the answer to our most serious problem, climate change. Can we actually pursue climate solutions and phase out oil use.
We can.
There are lots of, you know, not a tremendous amount. There's things out there that we could look at, but, you know, you have to think about vested interests.
And so what were you saying about the relationship between war and climate change?
Killing more people isn't going to help.
Right.
Destruction does not help the climate.
And Russia has most of the gas and oil. The least we can do to stop this war is quit buying it.
Right.
And that'll help the planet.
Is it good that oil prices are, they were complaining that oil prices have gone up, but that's kind of what we want.
Oil prices already started going up to deter people from driving fossil fuel cars.
Right, we want them. We want that.
We want them to stop using fossil fuel because that's what's killing the planet.
But you said there's no difference between demonstrating against war and demonstrating for climate change.
I didn't say there's no difference. I said one helps the other.
One helps the other.
Exactly.
They're connected.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
like everything.
We were afraid, many people were afraid that our former president was going to start a war just to get his way, you know, and then his friend Putin started one, you know, which is, that's the last resort of a desperate man.
And he's not going to, I don't know what he thinks about climate change, but he sure as hell doesn't want to kill even more people.
Are we talking about Putin?
Who is this, Biden?
Putin.
Putin doesn't give a shit about climate change. He laughed at
that. And he doesn't give a shit about killing more people,
correct.
But Biden does.
Well, yeah.
Well, but do you think we're going to war with Russia? This is really about oil, though.
If we did, that would be why. And I didn't know why we weren't for a long time until I figured it out.
Because we want access to Russian oil.
There's nothing to be gained by killing more people.
No, we don't buy that much Russian oil.
But a lot of resources are in the Central Asia.
Oh, resources over there? Yeah, but that's we're not after them.
So is it about, what do you think the war is about then? What do you think, why do you think?
The war is about a crazy man going off his rocker and doing something absolutely crazy, you know, beyond it. You know, I mean, he has to cling to power.
You mean Putin?
Yeah. Oh, I don't mean Putin.
Putin's gone crazy, even his own people think that. Putin was bored. Crazy. He needed some excitement in his life.
Well, what about NATO? You don't think that we've pushed him to that?
I think NATO is amazing. They're standing behind Ukraine, even though Ukraine isn't even a part of NATO. But they're not killing more people either.
Okay. All right, anything else?
I've seen some signs here saying, get out of NATO. And I think that's a huge mistake.
Oh, yeah.
NATO is part of what keeps more war from happening.
You don't see them as a relic of the Cold War? That we do we still need them now that there's no Cold War?
We do. Yes, we do. Because even if what we do is boycott, all these countries get together and say, no, we're not letting you do this.
He wants to know what we're doing here when climate.
So some kind of united unity.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. But I don't know if you want to give your name.
I'm with the Green Party, so can I promote that?
Yeah, please do. So why are you out here in front of the federal building today, Ed?
We just want the anti-war movement to be visible in a time where there's overwhelming public support for things that I think would escalate the war, like no-fly zone. We want to be here to show that all efforts should be made at de-escalating the conflict.
So you're not in favor of sending weapons to Ukraine?
I am not, no. The Green Party's position is that we should be doing everything we can to prevent war. Sending arms into a conflict, I believe, would only serve to escalate the conflict.
What do you think is the solution? What should we be doing?
Well, I don't know. That's a tough question. It's a very complicated situation, but, you know, I try to look at it objectively and listen to the experts. We've got a lot of foreign policy experts that for years have been saying a neutral Ukraine would be the most likely thing to lead to peace. So, I mean, in a perfect world, I'd like to see a neutral Ukraine that wasn't a threat to Russia, stopped NATO expansionism, because those things just inevitably end up in conflict.
Yeah, you're with the Green Party. How much of this is about oil, do you think?
You know, I mean, I'm still, honestly, still learning more about all of that aspect, but I do believe that probably is a role. It typically is. Scarce resources oftentimes are the source of conflict.
And I noticed the go-to move is to sell weapons. They want to bring Soviet MiGs over from Poland and then replace those with weapons.
Right, right. So, I mean, I just look back to our own, you know, Cuban Missile Crisis, right? And the United States would not tolerate weapons near our border. So it's just real, just living in the real world. I don't know, if you threaten a nation with NATO expansionism, I mean, it's no surprise that conflict is a result. We've done it ourselves.
Yeah, is there a role for NATO anymore? Aren't they a relic of the Cold War?
That's a good question. That's probably a discussion that warrants deeper analysis than like we could do here. Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
No, not at this time. Thanks for listening.
How do you promote the Green Party?
Uh, how do we promote it?
Yeah, or is there a website? Is it just greenparty.org?
Yeah, so I'm on
for Eugene.
So my name's Justin Phillip. I'm on the state coordinating committee for the entire state, the Pacific Green Party of Oregon, and also I run the local Eugene chapter along with others. So we use social media to promote it. We're here at this event taking part with our allies around the anti-war cause. So we're just trying to walk the walk and promote our values, and peace is a big one of those.
Right, but is it EugeneGreenParty.org or
PacificGreenParty.org for the whole state? You can see us on Facebook at Eugene City Area Green Party.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Chimes of freedom flashing.
Thank you. All right, so you have a sign that says healthcare, not warfare. Would it be better, would money be better spent on healthcare than warfare, do you think?
Definitely, I think money would be better spent on healthcare than warfare. I mean, one of the biggest problems, I think, in the world is how much money is spent on war. If everyone had enough to eat and had health care and education, if resources could just be shared, we wouldn't have to have war.
I got an interesting question for you. This whole debate about the pandemic, to me, it seems like it wouldn't matter whether we wouldn't have to wear masks and we wouldn't have to take away people's rights or anything like that, or there wouldn't be any fake stories about pandemics if we had healthcare in this country, if we had a more responsive healthcare system and a more robust healthcare system. Anything about the pandemic and healthcare?
Well, definitely. It's very sad that a lot of the people who've died or who've gotten sick is because they didn't have health care. They've had delayed health care for years. So,
but there were no respirators.
Right, and there wasn't enough respirators at the beginning. There wasn't even enough masks for the doctors to have enough masks and
right.
The nurses. And
no contact tracing and all that. If
right,
had a
all of that
system.
Stuff. All that right, stuff. So definitely I agree a better health, more funds for health care would have prevented a lot of the disaster.
So maybe liberals and conservatives should advocate for more health care.
Sure, I'd say it's a policy you'd think everybody would get behind, free health care for all.
But to me, it seems like you're just pooling your money together. It's better to get all of our money together in one big bundle to do health and get better prices for healthcare.
Sure, yeah.
And pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I believe in healthcare for all. I believe in, you know, some kind of a healthcare that's just free for everyone in the whole country.
But I mean, it's not necessarily socialism. Whether you believe in socialism or not, it's pooling your money together to get it. It's a lot more like a co-op and pooling your money together to get a better deal.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah.
All right, thank you. Anything else you want to say? About Ukraine and the war?
Well, yeah, I guess, I mean, it's just a sad situation, what's going on. But I would say that, you know, most people don't realize that U.S. military, the U.S. has such a big military, spends so much money on the military, and if they spent that money on just making sure that everyone had health care and everyone had free education and everyone had enough to eat and a place to live, it'd be much better use. And trying to work, also trying to work on solving our climate crisis.
Which indirectly causes war. Yeah.
Definitely.
Over resources.
Yeah.
I got a fun fact for you. Did you know that when you join NATO, you're required to buy weapons? Anything on NATO?
It seems like NATO is all about war, so I think that it's certainly not expanding the NATO at this time is a good thing, not pushing it further. And
but some kind of treaty that unifies us maybe would be good, but not over weapons.
Diplomacy is very important. Treaties, very important. Communicating, very important.
NATO, not so much.
Not so much. I guess I'd need to know a little bit more about it, but overall I'd say I'd prefer diplomacy to NATO.
All right, thanks very much. Thanks for coming out.
It's okay.
So my take on this is multinational corporations and globalization is what this is really based in, and resources and Russian resources. And this goes back to the grand chessboard with Zbigniew Brzezinski and global power. What do you think, Todd Boyle?
Yeah, at risk of being too much enthralled by my long-standing thoughts and beliefs, I do think that this latest war that the state of Russia has started is another example of a war that was started by powerful inside figures for their own benefit and for the enrichment of their own downchains and loyal lieutenants.
The same as Vietnam?
Well, yes. In my opinion, based on what I've seen in my lifetime, I was a war resister in the military during the Vietnam War, and I've been resisting wars all my life, on and off with more or less activity. But anyway, so let's look back how the U.S. invaded Iraq in 2003. Let's look back at how the U.S. invaded Iraq in 2003. At that time, it was transparent to everyone who the actors were. They were loudly publishing on the media. It was people who were concerned about weapons of mass destruction, people who were concerned about the threat to Israel, people who were concerned about oil. They were concerned about Iraq had invaded Kuwait. But behind that, there were unnamed forces like the oil people, of which you had oil figures who wanted the price to go up by destroying supply. And you had people who wanted to grab the supply and pump it as fast as possible. So these oligarchs, they are industrialists who want to sell weapons and who want, and there are bankers and financiers who want to support the banking system and the dollar. And so together you can have five or six or more factions behind a war like that. And I think this thing coming out of Russia may be equally complex.
Well, in Iraq is a perfect example. They used a curveball and said that they were incubators, which turned out to be a totally false story, that they were destroying incubators. Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. And the amount of just sheer nonsense that is spread, you know, and emotionality and so forth, to mobilize the base. And then, in many cases, politicians exploit a war to stir up grievances and attitudes of people and make them vote Republican, let's say, or make them vote Democrat with a different story. So,
well, I noticed Dick Cheney seems to be, speaking of politicians, he seems to be behind most of these, clear back to Nixon.
Yeah, he's been quite the evil figure in history. So anyway, we can't change a war, even our own wars, once they get started. And the key takeaway here is to learn and study this war that Russia has started and figure out who did it. Who are the people in Russia who are doing this? And who are the people in Ukraine who caused and enabled the oligarchs in Russia to invade? Like, who are the people in Ukraine, the leaders, who are stomping their foot that they want to enter NATO? Why do they need to enter NATO? Is somebody attacking them? I don't think so. If, of course, if they were in NATO, then they wouldn't have been attacked. So it does get complex. But if we study how this war was made, we'll find out that it was made by the same sorts of oligarchs as Dick Cheney and the banks and the people who started the war in Iraq and the war in Vietnam. None of the wars since World War II have been self-defense. They've all been a bunch of cruel, you know, conspiracies against the people of both countries.
What should we have done? To me, it's, like I say, it's globalization and imperialism and corporate greed that I can trace this back to, not to mention the nuclear non-proliferation treaty that we got out of the, what is it, the anti-ballistic missile treaty, George Bush. But what about U.S. is guilty of being imperialist, and now that, which now is called globalization. How much does that play?
Oh, yeah. Well, globalization, when I hear the word globalization, I think of the so-called West, and which is by no means only the U.S. The U.S. is one of, the city of London is a great leader of a lot of this stuff. But, yeah, the Western powers, including Japan, and Western-linked states of the Middle East, like Saudi Arabia. So it isn't. In fact, the American people are pawns in this game. There is a nexus in New York and Washington, D.C., where the oligarchs of the United States are physically located. But they're not the only oligarchs. In fact, if you go to the Forbes 500, how many of them are outside the U.S.? Brazil and, you know, Indonesia. These are the global oligarchs, and they want a system that feeds them. And they don't like it when things get taken out offline and redirected into Russia.
Well, and so wouldn't it be better to have humanitarian aid similar to what the People's Campaign, if we spent the money that we spend on war on humanitarian aid?
Oh, well, we don't have any control over U.S. policy. And so, of course, I would advocate, I'd vote for that, but, you know, but what we can do is we can inform our fellow citizens of what's going on so they don't just take the simple black and white story that's coming out of the media today, Russia bad, Ukraine good. There's been a civil war running for 8 years in eastern Ukraine, the so-called breakaway provinces. Who are those guys?
Right. The Maidan coup.
That's another one. Yeah, going back to, what was that, 2014,
I thought.
Yeah, that's right. And then there's the Orange Revolution in 2008 or something like that. So, and who did that? So we need to study Ukraine so that people don't adopt a simplistic view of it. That's really all we can do, in my opinion.
Okay, I just wanted to get what you need.
All right, anything else?
Thank you.
Let's maybe do something here, probably.
So talk to me about taxes and war. Most of your taxes go to war?
Yeah, over 50% of our taxes go to war. Over $700 billion, we're saying that's wrong. Bring the war dollars home to fund programs here in Eugene to help the planet and help the people who live here. So we want to say cut military spending by a huge amount. It's
and
far too much.
Where does that money go? I mean, they create a few jobs for in military contractors, but most of that money goes to the elite, doesn't it?
Well, it probably goes to the people who are running the big corporation, you know, who are building these arms, whatever. It's not going to the people. It's going to, you know, the rich and powerful. Like we're talking today about Ukraine and the oligarchs in Russia who are driving this process and getting money because of it. Same thing happening in this country with the U.S. oligarchs. They're called corporations.
Right, but aren't they taking money out of the system? They're taking your tax dollars away from you and sucking and extracting the money out of the country, your production value.
Well said, you're saying. I can't say it any better than you just did. You know, those money's going to the contractors, going to the rich and powerful, out of our pockets. We want that money to stay here, to fund programs that are helping the people who are here at this rally, who live in Eugene, who live throughout the state of Oregon. Oregon, it gets those military dollars don't come back to the state because of Senator Hatfield and others and the people of Oregon saying, no, we don't want to be paying for war. We get very, very little of that tax money. So we especially are screwed here in Oregon because of our longtime support for peace, you know, The money's going to the states with the big militaries, not to us.
And so doesn't that cause inflation in a way, too? Because if we had social programs like, for instance, child care, people wouldn't have to spend money on child care. So instead that money goes to bombs that are just blown up and are of no use to anyone.
Yeah, I think you're right. Probably does contribute to inflation. But it contributes to a deflation of programs, helping the poor, helping the needy, or just helping the middle class. It's like,
but with social programs, I might actually see that money, whereas when you give it to a bombs, I don't see that money's gone.
Right. We don't. Yeah, you're right. We can't see it at all unless that bomb is exploding somewhere, and we're trying to stop that. But no, it's like, yeah, money out of the people's pockets. People don't really understand that, and that's why tax day is coming up. What we do on tax day, we gather here, but we, you know, via the internet, we send out good information from the National Priorities Project, the group is called, who breaks down the federal budget so people can see, oh, over half my of the taxes go to war. And so we'll be here, we'll have social media here in the streets. We try to get that message out.
And, all right, what's the website?
The website on this will be
Code Pink.
Code Pink National, or Peace Action National. Locally here, Planet versus Pentagon is okay. the one. And the other group, Community Alliance in Lane County, CALP, also on their website. Their focus is a little more specific about how the connection between racism and militarism. But Taxes for Peace, Not War, we talk about all the money going to war, linking to those national groups like Code Pink, National Priorities Project, who has that specific information that we can use to stop this process.
Taxes for Peace, Not War, and when is tax day? April 15th?
Tax day is April 15th.
Okay.
And we'll be turning out here or maybe the other federal building. We usually do a march. But the key thing is we social media get the word out, but we want people here. Like today's event here, it was really powerful. People turned out to say no to war. I think it's more powerful doing that than doing it via email or on Facebook. So that is important. But the people got to come together in person. And now we can do that. With COVID not as bad now, people can gather again. We can gather again and say no to war.
All right, Michael Kerrigan, thanks for all your great work.
Pleasure, thanks. Yeah, great talking with you.
White horses and ladies by the score, all dressed in satin and waiting by the door. Oh, what a lucky man he was. White lace and feathers, they made up his bed. A gold-covered mattress on which he was led. Oh, what a lucky man he was. Oh, man he was. He went to fight wars for his country and his king, of his honor and his glory the people would sing. Oh, what a lucky man. Had found him, he
His blood ran as he cried. No money could save him, so he lay down and he died.
Thank you very much.